كن ربي عارف كيور هار ماربا كن ربي Kopi Dhanabhalava Girvanadhari Kopi Dhanabhalava Girvanadhari Gopi Dana Balaba Girvanadhari Gopi Dana Balaba Girvanadhari Kasoda nandana, vrata dana randana. Kasoda nandana, vrata dana randana. Kamunati ha vanasaya. Kamuna diha vanacharya Jayarada madhava kunyabhyarya Jayarada madhava Girvanadhari Yasoda nandana Vrata dana randana Yasoda nandana Vrata dana randana Kamunati ha vanacharya Kamunati ha vanacharya Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Radha Madhava Kunyabhyari Jayo Om Vishnupad Paramhamsa Parvidakacharya Asatara Sadushi Shriman His Divine Grace Shalasi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Lord Premanate All Glory to the Sankhosa Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes, Text Number 5. Srinarda Vacha Natva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanam Dharma Sevat Seitave Vakshe Sanatanam Dharmam Narayana Mukhatshrutam Srinarda Uvacha Nadva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanam Dharma Seitave Vakshe Sanatanam Dharma Narayana Mukhatshrutam Nadva Bhagavate Jaya Lokanam Dharma Sevate Vakshe Sanatanam Dharma Narayana Mukhatshrutam Srinarda Vacha Srinarda Muni said Natva offering my obeisances Bhagavate unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead Ajaya ever existing never born Lokanam throughout the entire universe Dharma Setave, who protects religious principles. Vakshe, I shall explain. Sanatanam, eternal. Dharmam, occupational duty. Narayana Mukhat, from the mouth of Narayan. Shrutam, which I have heard. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Narada Muni said, after first offering my obeisances unto Lord Krishna, the protector of the religious principles of all living entities, let me explain the principles of the eternal religious system of which I have heard from the mouth of Narayan. Purport. The word Aja refers to Krishna, who explains in Bhagavad Gita 4:6, Ajopi San Navyatma, I am ever existing and thus I never take birth. There is no change in my existence. So read the other text. Lord Narayan, along with his partial manifestation, Narada, appeared in this world through the daughter of Daksha Maharaj, known as Murti. He was begotten by Dharma Maharaj for the benefit of all living entities. Even now he is still engaged in executing great austerities near the place known as Bhadarik Ashram. Text 7. Dharma Mulam hi Bhagavan Sarva Veda Mayo Hari Smritam Chatad Vidam Rajan Yena Chatma Prasidati. The Supreme Being, the Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, the root of all religious principles, and the memory of all great authorities. O King Yudhisthira, this principle of religion is to be understood as evidence. On the basis of this religious principle, everything is satisfied, including one's mind, soul, and even one's body. Purport. As stated by Yamaraj, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Yamaraj, the representative of the Lord who takes care of the living beings after their death, gives his verdict as to how and when the living being will change his body. He is the authority, and he says that the religious principles consist of the codes and laws given by God. No one can manufacture religion, and therefore manufactured religious systems are rejected by the followers of the Vedic principles. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, it is said, Vedaischar Savarahama Eva Vedya. Vedic knowledge means to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Therefore, whether one speaks of the Vedas, scriptures, religion, or the principles of everyone's occupational duty, all of them must aim at understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore concludes, Savai Pum Samparo Dharmo Yato Bhakti Arhokshaje Ahaituki Apratiyata Yayatma Supersidati. In other words, religious principles aim at learning how to render transcendental loving service to the Lord. That service must be unmotivated, unchecked by material conditions. Then human society will be happy in all respects. The Smriti, the scriptures, following the principles of Vedic knowledge, are considered the evidence of Vedic principles. There are 20 different types of scripture for following religious principles, and among them the scriptures of Manu and Jagnavalkya are considered to be all-pervading authorities. And the Jagnavalkya Smriti, it is said, Shruti Smriti Sadachara Svasya Cha Priyamatmanaha Samyak Sankalpa Jakamo Dharma Mulam Aidam Smritam. One should learn human behavior from Shruti, the Vedas, and from Smriti, the scriptures following the Vedic principles. Sri Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, Smriti, Shruti Smriti Paranadi Pancharachaka Vidim Vina Ahaituki Harir Bhaktir Utpate Yaiva Kalpate. Sai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishaka Lord Jagannath Lord Baladev Shrimati Subhadra Devi Kija Shri Gauranitai Kija Giri Govardhan Kija. The purport is that to become a devotee, one must follow the principles that lay down in Shruti and Smriti. One must follow the codes of the Puranas and the Pancharachika Vidhi. One cannot become a pure devotee without following the Shruti and Smriti. And the Shruti and Smriti without devotional service cannot lead one to the perfection of life. Therefore, from all the evidences, the conclusion is that without bhakti devotional service, there is no question of religious principles. God is a central figure in the performance of religious principles. Almost everything going on in this world is religion, is devoid of any idea of devotional service, and is therefore condemned by the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without devotional service, so-called religious principles are only cheating. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya Dev Sutarne. Prabhupada explains in Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that the purpose of Vedic literature is to explain to us what is the laws of God or the laws of nature. As it says by Yamaraj, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, that the laws of God, the laws of nature, they're coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're not manufactured by any particular person. And real Shastra explains how to follow those laws. And the ultimate law is explained here, to surrender to Krishna, to become Krishna's devotee, to worship Krishna, etc. Therefore, although there are many Vedic literatures, and they have a purpose, namely to encourage the living entity to elevate himself to a higher level of consciousness. Generally, people in the material world are not concerned with elevating their consciousness. They're concerned with getting the maximum amount of happiness as quickly as possible. So they take, everyone actually is looking for happiness, but due to ignorance, people mistake what is real happiness in the material world. They think that happiness is simply becoming free from the misery or the anxiety caused by the material senses hankering after sense objects. The senses naturally have an attraction for sense objects, and they create a certain type of anxiety pushing, known as vagam, to search after the sense object. And the conditioned soul, he mistakes his happiness as fulfilling the pushings of these senses by meeting their objects. But this is actually not happiness for the soul. It is simply, as Prahlad Maharaj said, punak punas charvita charvananam. It is simply chewing the chew. In other words, whatever happiness one has already found in the material world, that's all there is. There's actually not much more to it. But due to Maya, one is thinking that maybe there is something more. Maybe there's something I missed out on. And if I just try one more time, then maybe it'll work out better than it did the last time. Although, if we look around, we can see there are so many millions of living entities, especially human beings, and they're all giving it one last try. And then none of them are coming out very successfully. So here it explains that one should understand that the purpose of the Vedic literature is ultimately not to simply make a third-class prisoner into a first-class prisoner, which most people think. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravanyavipaschitya veda vatarata parata nanyam astiti vardina karmatmaka swargapara janma karma pala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhaugaishvaya gatim prati. That those who are Veda Vataratas, those who are simply external students of the Vedas, mental speculators, just like when Krishna was herding the cows with the cowherd boys, then he became hungry, seemingly. Actually, he was not really hungry, but he wanted the cowherd boys to get some prasadam. Actually, he wanted to, more than that, he wanted to liberate the wives of the Jagat Brahmins. So he asked the cowherd boys to go and ask these Brahmins who were performing sacrifice to please give some food to Krishna and Balaram. So as soon as the cowherd boys came before these Brahmins performing sacrifice, immediately they asked, my dear Brahmins, you're in a certain part of the sacrifice. It is all right for you to give us some food. There's nothing wrong with that. So please give us some food, because Krishna, actually, they asked in the name of Balaram, because Krishna told the cowherd boys, these Brahmins are very puffed up, because they were thinking that because they're performing Vedic sacrifices, they're very elevated. No one is better in human society than we are, they were thinking. Therefore, if you ask in the name of Krishna, because I am supposedly born of a Vaishya son, I'm supposedly a Vaishya, namely I was born as the son of Nana Maharaj, Mother Jasoda, therefore they won't take a Vaishya very seriously. But if you ask in the name of Balaram, at least he's a Kshatriya, they may have more consideration for him. So they said, Balaram and Krishna also, they're herding cows and they're very hungry. Can you give us a little food? So the Brahmins, they didn't even bother answering. They thought, these people are so insignificant. What is the use of even responding to them? Why waste our breath? So the cowherd boys went away disappointed, just like sometimes on book distribution or cookie distribution. Sometimes we may offer people something and they just completely ignore the person. That's sometimes the most frustrating, when everyone, it seems like you hand them something and everyone's thinking that you're not even there, or they're acting as if you don't even exist. One time one man was walking down the street and all his friends, they decide to play a trick on him. So one man looked at him and said, Alfred, you've become a ghost. So he said, what are you talking about? So then he was walking down the street further, and one of his other friends looked at him and said, Alfred, What happened to you? You became a ghost. So everywhere he went, people were going, Alfred, you become a ghost. So he said, oh my God, I become a ghost. So Krishna and the cowherd boys, the cowherd boys were completely ignored by the Brahmins and they went back. So Krishna said that when you're collecting, then you can't expect to be successful everywhere. For the purpose, the purport is that these Brahmins, they were very puffed up, thinking that they were very advanced, but they had no idea what the actual purpose of sacrifice is, namely to worship Krishna. Therefore, later on, their wives, they collected all kinds of foodstuff, went out to meet Krishna and the cowherd boys, and they became completely enamored with Krishna's beauty and they surrendered to him completely. And the Brahmins who were performing the sacrifice, they became very despondent, thinking that we've committed this great sinful act, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the purpose of all the sacrifices, he's come before us begging a little food, and we completely rejected him. So what is the use of our sacrifices? What is the use of our being elevated to the heavenly planets that we've missed out on the whole purpose of sacrifice? But then they thought we should go out and immediately surrender to him, but we can't do that because we're afraid of Kamsa. So those who are too addicted to the results of their activities, fruitive activities, whether it's to go to the heavenly planets or merge into Brahman, whatever, acquire yogic powers, those who are so completely set on these goals, it is very difficult for them to impossible for them to surrender to Krishna. But they can't understand when Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parijaja Mame Kama Sharanam Vraja, to give up everything and to surrender to me. They're thinking that Krishna, he's like an ordinary person. He's puffed up, everyone's telling us to surrender to them, but as far as I'm concerned, the only one I'm going to surrender to is my mind and senses. I'll never surrender to Krishna. But Krishna is offering that surrendering not because he's in need. He didn't ask the Brahmins performing sacrifice that he was in need, that he needed their offering, but actually it's the conditioned soul who needs to offer something to Krishna. He needs to offer something to Krishna. It is just like if one has his iron ball and chain on his leg because he's a criminal. And so the governor comes and says, just give me your iron ball and chain, I'll set you free. In the olden times, they used to put people on iron balls and chains. So if you say, no, I can't give it to you, I'm attached to it. It's just my style of iron ball and chain that I was always wanted. I won't give it up for anything. I said, no, just give it to me and I'll set you free and you can get a much better existence. No, I won't give it up. You're puffed up. You're trying to steal my iron ball and chain from it. Who knows what you're going to do with it? So the conditioned soul, he's thinking, I have such a wonderful body. It's just the kind I always wanted. I've been working since time immemorial to get this one. It's torturing me in just the way I always wanted it. I'll never give it up. And this Krishna is coming, he's trying to take it from it, telling me to give up everything. But no, Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Name Dvesho Sima Na Priyaha Ye Bhajanti Tumam Bhaktya Mayate Teshu Chapyaha. That Krishna is not envious of anyone, nor is he partial to anyone. Because Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he already owns everything. Although we may not be aware, sometimes we become more aware of how Krishna is actually controlling, especially if one has the good fortune of distributing books, then sometimes one can see how simply by one's desire, praying to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates and sends someone to take a book out of nowhere. And sometimes when one is very proud or for some reason Krishna completely frustrates one. Even when one thinks that I am such a wonderful controller out here, I have the potency and everyone simply, I put up my finger and everyone stops. And then suddenly no one stops. Everyone goes by, and for an hour or so, or for some time, one feels completely frustrated until one becomes dependent on Krishna again, and then suddenly people start appearing to take books. So one can become aware suddenly how Krishna is the controller. He is the owner of things. If Krishna wants, he can protect one, and if Krishna wants, he can vanquish one. Therefore, Krishna, because he owns everything, therefore he has no need to create friendships in the material world. A common person, he makes friends with people because he thinks that if I make friends with this person, he'll give me what I don't have. But since Krishna has everything, he doesn't need anything. He has no need to make anyone his friend. And someone becomes an enemy if they threaten or they take something away from someone. But since no one can take anything from Krishna, therefore, to Krishna, no one is actually an enemy. Even he fights with the demons, it is just like play for him. Everyone knows who's going to win. Although even the demigods, Krishna makes it a little exciting. Sometimes he drops his saranga bow or he drops his club and all the demigods become disturbed. But those who are actually good at placing their bets, they always place their bet on Krishna. He's never lost yet. Therefore, no one can defeat Krishna. He's unlimited, unlimitedly powerful. Therefore, no one is actually Krishna's enemy. So because no one is Krishna's enemy and no one is Krishna's friend, therefore Krishna can actually be equal to everyone. But in the material world, the conditioned soul who is hankering for something in the material world, he'll undoubtedly find someone to become his friend, to help him achieve whatever he wants. And he'll undoubtedly be in anxiety that someone's going to take away something that he already has. But Krishna, he's actually everyone's friend. Therefore, if we hear from Krishna, we can be assured that we're getting our own benefit. Therefore, the guru, sadhu, and shastra, they don't invent their philosophy. The guru, the sadhu, the shastras, they never say that we are your friend, you know, you have to listen to us. Actually, the guru, sadhu, and shastra, they say that Krishna is your friend and you should surrender to Krishna. That, I think His Holiness Bhakti Sri Swami once said that when he's serving Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet one time, massaging them, he said, I forget what he said to Srila Prabhupada, something about how, you know, how can I serve you, Srila Prabhupada? And Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, just try and surrender to Krishna. Just try and love Krishna. Or as one time one devotee said to Prabhupada that, you know, Prabhupada, you know, we just want to love you. Prabhupada said something like, he said, actually try and love Krishna, and then because Krishna will never cheat you. So we're thinking that anyone in the material world is capable of cheating us. Even sometimes it appears that Krishna even cheats people, but it's for their own benefit. That much faith we have to have. When Krishna took everything away from Bali Maharaj, it wasn't that Krishna needed the universe. He already had the universe, but he wanted to benedict Bali Maharaj. After all, Bali Maharaj, he was fighting on the side of the demons. It's never ultimately auspicious. Therefore, he took everything away and gave it back to the demigods, just to prove the fact that even if you become as powerful as Bali Maharaj, still if you're on the wrong side, then Krishna is going to come and take it away from you. But then ultimately he gave Bali Maharaj a kingdom better than that of Indra, Sutala. And he himself, he said, all right, I've taken everything away, so I'll become your doormat. So if you go to Sutala, the planet Sutala, then you'll find that Vamanadev is standing there as Bali Maharaj's doormat. So if you want to meet a nice doorman, And generally they're not considered to be, it's not the highest class position, but Krishna himself became Balaram Maharaj's doormat, so much so that when Ravana came to fight with Balaram Maharaj, he first of all had to go through the doormat, and the doormat kicked him. And his kick sent Ravana 800,000 yojanas into the air. So if you're going to have a doormat, you know, and Vamanadeva is quite a doormat. The purpose is that one should trust Krishna, that even Krishna is going to take something away, or Krishna is going to give us something, ultimately first for our benefit. Ultimately, to teach us the highest point of the Vedic principles, which is to become aware of Krishna. That if one becomes aware of Krishna, then one can actually get his real benefit. Because we ourselves, as part and parcel of Krishna, it means that we have the same qualities as Krishna has, the same spiritual senses. So what's pleasing to Krishna is pleasing to the soul, and what is not pleasing to Krishna is not pleasing to the soul. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Dukhaliyama Shasvatam. Mamupeti punarjanma Dukhaliyama Shasvatam. Napnuvanti Mahatmana Samsidim Paramamgata. He says that after attaining me, that the great souls, they don't come back to this material world, he says, because it's temporary and it's miserable. So Krishna is trying to take away our material existence from us. He is trying to get us to surrender everything because he said it's temporary and it's miserable. Although in the Vedic literature, it's glorified, different types of temporary miserable positions in the material world are glorified because they're more elevated. In other words, for someone who's determined to stay in the material world under all circumstances, who wants to be a prisoner, then it's better to be a first-class prisoner than a third-class prisoner. It's better to get a cell with a picture of the sun in it, so at least you have some association with the sun, than get one with no view of the sun at all. But ultimately the idea is not to be the person who is advertising, take the first class prison cell, become a reform prisoner, get a better prison cell. That person actually wants people to get out of the prison altogether. So that is what the purpose of the Vedic literature is, how to become completely reformed. And it says that this is explained in the Shruti, Shruti Smriti Pancharachika Vidim Vinaha Haituki Hara Bhaktir Nopada Yaiva Kalpate. That all the Vedic literature is meant ultimately to come to this point of accepting the Pancharachika Vidhi, which are the rules and regulations for the devotees, how to regulate their activities in such a way as to become purified, to give up our material misconceptions. In other words, although we may be not capable of fixing our minds completely on Krishna, just like Dhruva Maharaj was able to do that in 6 months, but we may not be capable of suddenly fixing our mind completely on the form, quality, and pastimes of Krishna. But the Pancharatrika Vidhi given by Narada Muni is made in such a way is that by following it, one gradually develops his capacity so that his taste for hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna increases. Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he defines the 9 different processes of devotional service in different ways. One part he says that the hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, this is part of Rag Marg, which is better known as Bhagavad Vidhi, preaching. Bhagavad Vidhi, of course, this preaching is open to everyone, but it's actually especially relished by the Paramahansas. Therefore, at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Dharma Prayojita Kaitava Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam, that the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it kicks out the so-called religious principles, Kaitava Dharma, cheating religious principles. In other words, everything except to surrender to Krishna is Kaitava Dharma because it's promising happiness. Without promising happiness, no one's going to buy. If it said, you take to this austerity, you perform this fasting for 3 years, and at the end you'll be 10 times more miserable than you are now. You'll be a lot hungrier than you are too. So you perform it, and we advise it. Then the Vedic literature would be quite neglected. But it says, no, you take to this fasting, and then you become Indra for a few years, and then you can go to Brahmaloka and so many things. And you'll become 100 million times more happy than you are now. Just like people go to college, they sit and learn all kinds of nonsense things. The aim generally is not to learn all kinds of crazy things for most people. It's simply because they know, unless I go to college, unless I get my degree, then the result is I can't get a job. If I don't get a job, I can't make money. And if I can't make money, then I can't eat. And if I can't eat, I'll be hungry. So people go to college to get something to eat, mostly, to fill the empty stomach. So in the same way, the Vedic literature ultimately promises you perform this activity and you'll become free from some kind of misery, and you'll be promoted to a higher state of happiness. But ultimately, it's Kaitava Dharma, because there is no happiness. There's only misery in the material world. There is no freedom from anxiety and misery. Even Brahma, Krishna says, he's also miserable. He knows everything in the past, present, and future. Therefore, he's completely morose, because he knows there's no possibility of getting out of this place happily. He knows he can see that in the future he'll be miserable. He knows in the past he was miserable, and he's miserable now. Only the conditioned soul, who's an illusion, he thinks, oh, maybe in the future I'll be happy. So it's kind of a dharma, because there's no position in the material world which is happy for the soul. Therefore, the Paramahansas especially, they can relish Srimad Bhagavatam, because they have no aspirations for some other benefit except to love Krishna. Therefore, they can actually appreciate the Srimad Bhagavatam. So generally, there are three classes of persons who appreciate the process of hearing and chanting. The first is the Mahabhagavata, or the Paramahansa. He relishes Bhagavatam because it is actually, he gets Krishna's association simply by hearing the Bhagavatam. And the second class devotee, he can also appreciate the Bhagavatam, because by hearing it, he becomes inspired and encouraged on the path of self-realization. The path of self-realization becomes clear and encouraging to him. And the third class person, even the materialist, which can be said to be the Kanishtha Adhikara, he also becomes interested, because there's so many interesting stories in the Bhagavatam, and he takes it as some kind of interesting story. But if he hears it from the right person, with the right attitude, with a submissive attitude, then he also becomes elevated to the second and first class platform. But those who are, as Shukadeva Goswami says, Nivritte tarsher upagiya manas. Bhavosha jats chotra mino biramat kautra sloka gunan varda vina was it puman vina, what's the first letter, the first word of the last line, is it puman virajeta vina pashugnat. Those who are animal killers or killing themselves, they cannot appreciate the Bhagavatam. So, although hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna is for the Ragmarg devotees, those who are on spontaneous platform of loving Krishna, it's also appreciated by second or third class devotees. And on the other hand, the Pancharajika Vidhi deals with especially rendering service to Krishna, worshipping his lotus feet, serving the deities, and offering prayers, temple worship. And the last two, namely Atmani Vedanam and Sakyam, are meant for the Ragmarg devotees, those who are surrendered to Krishna. But if one can, especially this movement, combines together the Pancharajika Vidhi, the temple worship, with the hearing and chanting about Krishna, with a special emphasis on hearing and chanting about Krishna, so that eventually one will be able to relish the Srimad Bhagavatam, one will be able to relish chanting the holy name, and one will be able to come to the platform of spontaneous love of Krishna. But unless one comes to that platform of loving Krishna, then it's said that everything else is a waste of time. That if one can't come to that platform, then all his activities are simply wasted. Whether one follows the Vedas, or he follows the R system, the path of devotional service is outlined by Narada Muni, Pancharachika Vidhi, that unless he comes to this platform of actually appreciating and loving Krishna, becoming aware of him, developing one's love for him, then it's considered a waste of time. Tyaktva dharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajana bhaktvan to yato viti iti yatra kvava bhajam abhuramu shakim kovarta aptam bhajatam sadharmataha. That if one perfectly follows his duty, becomes very expert in whatever he's doing, but he doesn't become Krishna conscious, then he simply wasted his time. But even if a devotee, if he takes up the process and then later on falls down, then there's no loss for him. He's actually made advancement towards the real purpose of life. So this process is so auspicious, even one doesn't become perfect at it, even one doesn't become very elevated at it, still, by taking to this process, one gets real benefit. And if one follows the Vedas, or doesn't follow the Vedas, or whatever, if one doesn't come to this process, take up devotional service, then he simply wasted his time. So Prabhupada is pointing out that there's so many performances of religion going on nowadays, and people are very sentimentally attached to their religion. Everyone has their religion. But because it doesn't actually inspire the followers to perform any devotional service. First of all, the followers have no idea who God is. Only this movement is actually presenting the idea of God. And because they have no idea of God, there's no question of devotional service to God. If you don't know who God is, you don't know what He wants, then how are you going to know what to do? God doesn't want us to simply help little old ladies across the street. That is not the idea of pure, that is not God's innermost desire in His heart. Or to give that, you know, 50 franc note to the beggar, you know, to the drunk on the street. This is not what God is aspiring for. God, Krishna, He has His desires, and only by studying the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, can one actually understand what these desires are. And then there's some possibility of rendering service to Him. Therefore, according to that, if one perfectly follows his duty, he becomes very expert in whatever he's doing, but he doesn't become Krishna conscious, then he simply wasted his time. But even if a devotee, if he takes up the process and then later on falls down, then there's no loss for him. He's actually made advancement towards the real purpose of life. So this process is so auspicious, even one doesn't become perfect at it, even one doesn't become very elevated at it, still, by taking to this process, one gets real benefit. And if one follows the Vedas, or doesn't follow the Vedas, or whatever, if one doesn't come to this process, take up devotional service, then he simply wasted his time. So Prabhupada is pointing out that there's so many performances of religion going on nowadays, and people are very sentimentally attached to their religion. Everyone has their religion. But because it doesn't actually inspire the followers to perform any devotional service. First of all, the followers have no idea who God is. Only this movement is actually presenting the idea of God. And because they have no idea of God, there's no question of devotional service to God. If you don't know who God is, you don't know what He wants, then how are you going to know what to do? God doesn't want us to simply help little old ladies across the street. That is not the idea of pure, that is not God's innermost desire in His heart. Or to give that, you know, 50 franc note to the beggar, you know, to the drunk on the street. This is not what God is aspiring for. God, Krishna, He has His desires, And only by studying the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, can one actually understand what these desires are. And then there's some possibility of rendering service to him. Therefore, according to the Bhagavatam, any religion which does not bring one to the point of loving God, performing devotional service to him, then is considered to be Kaitava Dharma. Of course, we don't condemn other religions too, because somehow or another, the principles of religion are still, the society is still somewhat of a human society. Because of the great personalities such as Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Muhammad, who have come and delivered the message of God. Of course, the followers did not appreciate the message, therefore they've distorted it in so many ways, but somehow or another the message is still there to some extent. And therefore it's kept human people, at least on the human level, to some extent. And therefore they have the opportunity to appreciate this Krishna consciousness philosophy. Unless we were born into a society of somewhat civilized, to some degree civilized, that we ourselves would not have been possible to have come to this movement. So therefore we can appreciate these other religions because at least they're better than the demoniac, atheistic philosophies that are being propagated by other groups. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. Oh no, we can tell people don't eat meat. Prabhupada did that a lot. Even though it's a sub-religious principle. What do you mean by sub? It's a religious principle. What do you mean by sub-religious principle? Well, that's part of our mission. Prabhupada said our mission is to inspire people to chant the holy name and to make the atmosphere, create an atmosphere by which they'll be able to do it. So both have to be there. Just like we're trying to introduce a cultural revolution, so cultural revolution means to create the atmosphere by which people will be able to appreciate the holy name. Otherwise, what is the necessity of an avarna and ashram system? Why did Prabhupada write so much about that? Unless the avarna and ashram system was immediately rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being external. But because we're in the external, because most people at least, we could say, they're on the external level. Therefore, unless the external level is introduced, that when society becomes very chaotic, then they'll never be able to take to Krishna consciousness. So we're interested in that. But we don't emphasize that. We try to emphasize, for those who are ready for it, we emphasize the taking to pure devotional service. But for those who aren't, who can't appreciate that, then we emphasize something else. You see how Prabhupada preached. And Prabhupada preached to people who could appreciate Krishna consciousness, that's what he did. And when he preached to people who were very materialistically orientated, then he talked about dvana and ashram. Yeah. Mahaprabhu. Well, Prabhupada, when he talked about Vanashram system, he talked about establishing a Vanashram college where one is trained up. And for most of us, it's probably too late to start getting trained up. But for the children, it's always a problem. Generally, they go through Gurukul for a few years, and then they graduate and they go to Karmi High School, and then they learn their real occupation, running around with chasing after women and taking drugs. And then their next occupation is how to get money somehow or another to support these things so they won't become deprived. So, because we haven't established Vana and Ashram colleges in our society, therefore we don't really have find an ashram within our society. So that has to be established. Training for the children so that after they graduate from Gurukul, they can actually be trained up in a certain varna and so varna. And then the ashrams will be stronger. But because most people are not attracted to the current occupations we have within our society, or at least it's not most of the students in our Gurukuls, they don't graduate and suddenly take up an occupation of a book distributor because they think, you know, let us go and see what the material world is like, especially after they go to high school. Yes.
So, for example, the body is still conditioned to yes, the tendency of the activities seems to be corresponding. So, can you say that somebody may be blindly doing both two bodies at the same time, or blindly?
Well, we're not following Vana. We ourselves are not following Vana or Ashram. This Swadharma, two types of Swadharmas, that given by the Vedic literature and that authorized by the spiritual master. So we don't really, in this age especially, our Vana are so mixed up. Our modes of nature are so mixed up. In the morning we're in the mode of passion, then we go into the mode of goodness for a few minutes, and then we're back in ignorance. Therefore, we don't really have a very clear, sometimes we don't have a very clear occupation. I mean, obviously we're not pure Kshatriyas. We're not going to go into the forest here and look around for a tiger with a knife. We're not exactly on the heroic side of, nor do we have the physical strength to be a Kshatriya. But, you know, we do have some devotees have a tendency to want to be managers and organizers, others want to do pujari work and deity services, Brahmins, etc. So Prabhupada said, mostly our purport is that whatever we have an attraction for, we can do that service for Krishna. And at the same time, we should learn how to, develop an attraction for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So we have many different types of tendencies. We can engage those in Krishna's service, especially in this preaching mission. And with the aim of gradually developing our appreciation, our taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Yes. There's no problem at all. No one will object, especially the temple president. He'll be happy the more you can do. Yeah.
Because when I was studying at my temple, and I was in a couple of books, and started to about this reading of me. And then I put my own house to visit again to our house. And it's like the priest very heavily about reading of me in the books. It was a priest in my head. And then the next time we went to the temple, I mean, he became vegetarian at the time. When I went to Brahmanathu, and I said, Brahmanathu, you became a vegetarian. And then he said, well, even more people are vegetarian. He said, actually, the priest to the level of
yes. No, that's good. We should at least be on that level. In other words, if one is on a higher level, that it should include all the other levels. But God's level is not that we help the little old lady across the street so that we get a free ticket to, you know, Swargaloka for a few years. We do it because it's pleasing to Krishna. So if it's actually pleasing to Krishna, then we'll be willing to help all living entities. Yeah, then you can all, just like we ourselves, we not only we can help little ladies across the street, but we also don't kill the little cows and the calves. But other people, they think they're very pious. They help the little old lady across the street. So they themselves and the little old lady, they go into the restaurant and eat a poor cow. So because we have a higher consciousness, we already have, Prabhupada said, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana savarganas tatra samasute sara. If one is a devotee, automatically he wants to help all living entities. He has all the good qualities. And if one is not a devotee, though apparently he maybe have good qualities, but actually he's helping one person and causing others to suffer. No, of course not. No, we are above it, that's why we'll help them. That should be automatically included. And if it's not included, it means we're not really on that level. Slaughterhouses. Well, Prabhupada mentioned that a few times, that modern education is a slaughterhouse. Because it teaches people all kinds of things that are undesirable to learn about. But do they go to, sometimes the Gurukul students, they go to high school, even college. They do that. Because we're a new movement at the end of 25 years or so. It's not that we've gotten everything together, especially our educational system, for different reasons, but much too numerous to express in 5 seconds. But it'll take some time for the devotees to appreciate the necessity of educating their children properly. It takes some understanding and some experience. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, you are. So you get the reactions for both. If one falls down from the platform of devotional service, then he gets the material reactions for whatever he does. So Prabhupada said he may even be born in a low birth in his next lifetime. But still, auspicious Krishna consciousness is never lost. So he gets both reactions. Just like in the story of Paranjana. So Paranjana, who is actually King Prachinibharishat, who's Narada Muni was giving an allegorical example. So in his next lifetime, I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Paranjana. Paranjana, he was very attached. He was a king. He had a nice kingdom, and he had a nice wife. He had so many children. But at the time of his death, because he became attached to his wife and his family, he was lamenting about them at the time of his death, took birth as a woman. But he took birth as a princess in a very nice kingdom. Because of his pious deeds as a king, he took birth in a king's family, but because he was attached to his family, he took birth as a woman. The Prabhupada said both things are taken into account, your pious activities and your impious activity. Similarly, our devotional service is taken into account, and if we fall down from devotional service, generally, especially in this age, one falls down to sinful activities. Therefore, that will also be taken into account. But the sinful activities, the reaction for them is temporary, while the accumulation of devotional service is a permanent asset. Yes? Trees? They're both Tulsi. They're both the same. Expansion of Tulsi Deva. No. Why two souls? One soul. It's not that there's a whole bunch of Tulsis. Tulsi is an expansion of Brinda Deva. Brinda Deva is one person. Anything else? So, it's very nice being here. Sorry I have to leave. So, I'm sure everything will be auspicious here. This is one of the most auspicious places in our society, with so many people coming here to see how the devotees are serving Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, Srimati Subhadra Devi, and Sri Giri Govardhan, and Sri Sri Gauranitai. So, somehow or another, Krishna is blessing the devotees here. And the devotees are blessing so many persons who come here. So it's very auspicious. So if you continue that way and try to increase, then more and more people will come and this movement will become more and more successful. So thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.